will, Leonie. Thank you. Isn't God good? Some of you think God's good. I've got these new glasses that Pastor Darren gave me, and I've got to look at you over the top. So I look really official now, don't I? So I'm going to pray. Our Father and our God, what a privilege it is that we have the living Word of God in our hands. What a privilege it is, Father, that you dwell within us. And Father, as we come to the Word today, I just believe and pray that the Holy Spirit will take this Word and bring about your heart and your purposes for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who was here last week? Well, most of you were. Well, who can tell me what Pastor Keith talked a little bit about last week? Truth. Well, you were all listening. That was great. Truth. And you know, I went up to him after the message and I said, you've stolen part of my message for today. And I believe when God speaks twice, he has something to say to us. So my message today, if I was going to put a title on it, it would be Determined and Dressed. Determined and Dressed. As our lovely Leona said, we've come to the end of another year and we've got to look forward to what God is going to do for us in the new year. And I believe it will be new. It will be new. But you know, I was reading a few weeks ago in my Living Bible, in Isaiah 50, verse 7 to 11, and it said, because the Lord God helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint to do his will, and I know that I will triumph. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to fight against me now? Where are my enemies? Let them appear. See, the Lord God is for me. And who shall declare me guilty? All my enemies shall be destroyed like old cloths eaten up by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If such men walk in darkness without one ray of light, let them trust in the Lord. Let them rely upon their God. But see here, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves from your own fires and not God's will, you will live among sorrows. And I began to think about that last verse. You who live in your own light and warm yourselves from your own fires. And I thought about that and I thought about it, and it's in the context of the fact that Jesus has set his face as a flint. We read again in Luke 9:51 that again he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And I began to think about it and I thought, well, what is my own light and what are my own fires? And I believe it's my own thinking patterns. It's my own thoughts. I like to think that I can sometimes do things better than God, and I found that I can't. Oh, I'm so glad someone agrees with me. Paul himself, I believe, set his face as a flint. Paul, we read, in the Word of God, said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul set his face. He said, I want to finish the race that God has determined for me. Was it easy? No. We see that Jesus, when he set his face as a flint, what was he come under? He came under mockery. He came under all sorts of things. Persecution. It wasn't easy for him. I love what Cam said today. Jesus was in a public place. And I was, in my mind, I was thinking, Cam, we're all in a public place. And he said it. And I said, we live our lives in a public place. Just like the Lord did. Just like Paul did. Paul lived his life. What was poor old Paul? Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. And he wrote one of the most joyful letters in Philippians that is beautiful to read and encouraging. How did they do it? How did they live their lives? And how do we live our lives in such a way that we will finish the race that God has called us to do? I believe one of the ways is intimacy. Intimacy with God the Father. And that comes through our prayer life, doesn't it? We have to have a desire for intimacy. It has to go beyond the thought process. It has to be, we need to be led into that. I remember when I first discovered that Jesus lives in me, I thought, wow, that was 40-odd years ago. Jesus, my girlfriend and I, we were just reading the scriptures and she just about jumped out of her seat. She said, do you know Jesus lives in us? We have the God of all creation, the one that speaks his word and it happens, dwelling within us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus set his face as a flint. Paul set his face, I believe, as a flint to finish the work that God had called them to do. And I believe as we go into 2019, God is asking us, will you set your face as a flint? Will I set my face as a flint to fulfill the heart of God for me, for you? And it's only a question that each one of us can answer. I can't answer for you and you can't answer for me because it comes out of relationship. It's all about relationship. Our walk with God is about relationship. It's all about him. It's connecting with him. It's learning of him. It's being directed by him. There's no other way. There's no other way. Charles H. Spurgeon, a great author, a preacher in the 1800s, 1891, he actually wrote in one of his sermons, and I read it and I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit rides in the chariot of Scripture, not the wagon of modern thought. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit rides in the chariot of Scripture, not in the wagon of human thought. You see, they're the little fires we light for ourselves. They're the little lights that we think that we can go by. Modern human thought. Now, that was written in 1891. I don't think much has changed in all those years. He's a great preacher if you ever want to get into some of his works. And I've quoted a few little things from him today. But the Holy Spirit rides in the chariot of Scripture. Let that settle in your spirit just a minute. Does he ride anywhere else? He uses Scripture. He uses what God has given to him. And he rides in that. Not in the thoughts of modern man. Oh, I hope I haven't trod on too many toes here. But that's all right if I have. You have to deal with it. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I hear so many people say to me, and of course those of us are getting a little older, they say, all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That is my heart's cry. That's all I want to hear. I'm so sold out for God. I think he's wonderful. When I met him so many years ago, I found someone that loved me. Loved me unconditionally. And I've never gone back on him since. But that's all right. Jesus was God incarnate. He was man in the flesh. Would have been easy for him to set his face as a flint, wasn't it? I don't think so. He was fully man when he went to the cross. And he suffered those things for us. Paul was a zealous man right from his young years. And he took that zealousness into his walk with God. It wasn't easy. The disciples, if you go through each one of them, none of them had an easy life. And I'm not preaching doom and gloom here. I'm preaching the reality of what it is to be a Christian. We do have wonderful times. We have fellowship times, and they're great. But you know, there's a battle to be won. There's a war to win. And the wonderful thing about it is God hasn't left us uncovered. He's given us his name. He's given us his authority. And he's given us something else. Who can tell me what else that is? The Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit work? How does he work? He rides in the chariot of God's word. If you get nothing else today, I want you to hear that. The Holy Spirit rides in the chariot of God's word. He doesn't ride by my little fires that I light. He rides in the chariot of God's word. And there is a wonderful portion of scripture, and it's in Ephesians 6. And I think most of you will know it, but I'm going to read it. And I have a friend that's going to come up when I finish reading this. And we're going to do something. It's a bit hard to see, actually, but never mind. I will try. Put on. I beg your pardon, from Ephesians 6, verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armour, that you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the enemy. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the dispositions, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on God's complete armour, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, stand. Stand, therefore. Hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation for the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit that the Spirit wields. I need someone to help me today, because Merv and I have been very, very good, and we've been making some armour up. You see, we have the name of Jesus, we have the authority, but we also have our armour. How many put their armour on every day? Oh, a few of you. Wow. You know, sometimes we forget to do the simple things that protect us. And God is saying, yes, be determined to finish the race, but be dressed for the race. And I believe as we go into 2019, we need to be dressed as never before. You look around at the world today and it's in a mess. It's in a mess. But you know, God is on the throne. And he said, when darkness covers the earth, deep darkness the people, what will happen? The glory of the Lord will arise. And that's what we look at. We look to the glory of God arising in and amongst us. So now, let me think. We need a belt, sir. Have you got a belt?
Here's one I prepared earlier.
Right. We need you to put your belt on. I'm not going to put your belt on. Thank you. Right. That looks pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah, I think that looks really good. So what do we need next? Come on, people, what do we need next? Oh, you've got it all there, but you got it in wrong order. Hey? The breastplate of righteousness. Now look, this is the breastplate of righteousness. Now you can laugh at me, but I tried to make it big enough for this man.
You got this from Police Surplus.
I did. Now come back over here. Oh, and we need our feet shod with the gospel of peace. So let's put on your shoes, sir, please. Would you need a hand or you're right? You're right. You haven't got balance issues?
No,
It's fine. Now, we need to take up the shield of faith. You know what, Alan got. You're right? You got the shield of faith. That looks pretty cool, doesn't it? Now, we need to put on the helmet of salvation. How are we going to do this? Eh? I think I have picked the wrong person here. I love it. And we need the sword of the Spirit in your belt. No, that's not your belt, that's your pocket. Right. So is he dressed? Is he completely dressed? Oh, someone's got it right. Come over here, sir. You're too far away. No, you need to be where people can see you. Because there's something wrong with this armour. Can anyone tell me what's wrong with the armour? Yes.
It shouldn't be on his back.
Well, we know that, but I had to do something. You know, you've got to use your imagination in these things. So there is a problem with this armour and I need his dear wife to fix it. Who can tell me what it is? Ah, we have a problem. Nobody can work it out. Let's have a look. Put your shield over here for a minute. Jangle your belt. Is your belt? Who can tell me what's the matter? No. Do you know something? It's so simple. His belt's on too loose. The word of God says to put the belt on tightly. Yeah, tightly. Pull it tight. That's it. You see why I didn't do it, don't you? So, now we need the shield of faith. Thank you, Leonie. So, what does the belt represent? The word of truth, doesn't it? The belt represents the word of truth. And if we don't have that belt tight around us, we might live in our own fires or we might live in our own light. But we have to have the word of truth tight around us. Yes, I'll go here. I can't even get my finger in that. I don't know how you... Are you coping all right? Yeah. Now, we've got over here a sword. Now, would you like to take your sword out, please, sir? Can you get it out? Yes. It's not a very big sword, is it? No. In the Greek, it's called a macharina, something like that. You may be able to help me, Mark. But it means a short combat sword. And it was only between 6 to 18 inches. And it was always for close combat. Are you getting the idea today? You see? But who wields this sword? The Spirit of God. You see, we've got to have the truth within us as a foundation. The truth has to be within us as a foundation. So the Spirit can wield the sword. You right there? He's doing really well. We could do this together. So the Spirit wields a sword for us. Thank you, sir. But I do need the sword. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. Thank you, Merv, for helping me make that. Oh, the belt. Yes, you can loosen the belt now. So there's several pieces of armour that God wants us to be dressed in the new year. And I really believe it's serious. So many of us overlook the armour of God. Now, the thing about the armour of God is nobody else can put it on for you. Ooh. Like Gary here was in the police force for 22 years. And every morning he would get up and he would put his uniform on. Nobody else put it on for him. He was responsible to put it on for himself. I remember my young son when he went into the reserves. my younger boy used to want to spit and polish his boots. And he said, "Oh no, Mum, I'm responsible for this. If it's not done right, I'm in trouble." I wasn't even allowed to iron his pants because he had the responsibility to do it for himself. We cannot put on, I can't put on Gary's uniform or armour of God, and you can't put on mine. Because the armour of God represents something very, very beautiful. You see, when Gary was out in the police force in his uniform, people could see this was a policeman, this was a man of authority. He had the name police force somewhere on his uniform. And so he was to be regarded, wasn't he? But do you realise we don't fight flesh and blood? Our uniform, our armour is spiritual. And how, when we put on the belt of truth, the Holy Ghost rides in the chariot of Scripture, remember. The sword of the Spirit is issued to everybody. We all have it. Whether we keep it in our word or we put it on is our own choice. The sword of the Spirit is spiritual. The breastplate of righteousness covers our vital parts. It covers our heart. It covers all the things that are very, very important. We are made upright before God with Christ's righteousness. Isaiah 59. The shoes of peace. In Isaiah 52 it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Our peace, we put it on. The shield of faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. The shield of salvation, the helmet of salvation. You know, I'll just tell you a little incident with the shield of faith. When I was a young Christian girl, it's quite a few years ago actually, I had a situation where I was totally believing God for breakthrough. And I walked up the steps of the church one day and this person said to me, "How are you?" And I said, "Oh, by faith, I'm great." And you know what this wonderful man said to me? He said, "Oh, you can have too much faith." And that sent me on a downward tread because I was such a young Christian. I thought perhaps I was getting it wrong. We have to be so careful of our words to the younger ones as they're coming through. But we put on that shield of faith, believing God for the things that we can't see. And this helmet of salvation, it protects our mind, doesn't it? You know, the Lord says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. But the enemy comes in, and I don't know about you, but you get into stinking thinking. Does anyone ever do that? Oh no, I'm the only one. Oh, I'm so sorry. We get into stinking thinking. If they'd have done this, then I'd have done that. And if they'd have done this, if they could just do this, then we could do that. The helmet of salvation protects us from all that. And the sword of the Spirit. You see, I said that Gary, when he stood in the open, people could recognise that he was a policeman. Do you know what? When we stand fully clothed in the armour of God, all the spiritual powers of heaven know and wickedness know that we are children of the living God. That's one of the reasons we need to put on the armour. Because we can stand against the principalities and powers of the enemy. We are out there. We're out there. And God says, be determined to go through. Now, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it doesn't mean it's the Logos word. The Logos is the whole of the Bible. But this is a Rhema word. And sometimes you might be reading the Word of God and all of a sudden a scripture will jump out at you. And you'll think, I'll take that, that's mine. That's your sword of the Spirit. I remember I've had several Rhema words that I've stood on, some for 30 years before I saw the fulfillment of what God. And I want to share a couple of with them today. In Exodus 23:29-30, I was reading the scriptures in Exodus and it said, and it just jumped out. Now, I was going through a particularly hard time and it was in my first marriage, and it said, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the Lord become desolate and the beast of the field become too numerous for you. But little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. The word little by little just jumped off the pages to me. And with this situation that I was going through, that's what God's promised me. And I would sit there and I'd put on the armour of God and I'd say, Lord, you said little by little you would set this person free. And I claimed that for 30 years until I saw that. Freedom came to this person. It doesn't always happen overnight. It can do. Some of the other scriptures that have been the sword of the Spirit to me is, behold, in Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? When I got that scripture, I thought, well, at first I had the terrible thought, well, is it anything too hard for you? And I had to work it through, and I came to the point where I realized that nothing is too hard for our God. And one day when people were saying some not very nice words about me, I was reading the word again and it says, you have the words of eternal life. It's God. He has the words of eternal life. We need to wield that sword. We need to wield the sword that God has given us as we go through 2019. If you don't have a Rhema word from God, ask him for one. As you're reading your Bible, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your heart. But you've got to realize that it's spiritual. We don't fight flesh and blood. I've gone through situations with family, and it's easy to fight flesh and blood, but you've got to realize, no, this is in the heavenlies. And so you dress yourself in your armor. And then my enemy says, oh, she's getting dangerous. Watch out. And you push back. You push back the works of darkness in your situation and mine as you stand in what God has given us. Be determined and be dressed as we go into the new year. Determined to follow God's heart for each of us. But you know, I truly believe there's a seventh part to the armour of God. And I believe it's in the following scripture. Pray always. Pray always. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer, and to this end, keep alert. You see, that's what Jesus did. He was able to set his face as a flint and do what the Father's heart asked him to do because he was in constant communion with his Father. Constant. And I believe Paul, when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, Paul just wanted to know him. And is that the cry of our heart today? That I may know him. And it's in the spiritual realm that we may know him, but it flows through to everything that we are. That has been my cry for many years. My favourite scripture is Psalm 27:4. This one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the courts forever, to behold him in the beauty of he who he is. Be determined. Set your face as a flint, because God is calling each of us in the army to move forward in this place in next year. And he's saying, don't go with your own fires and your own light. Step into the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Abide in the Word of God. Be the Word of God to those around about you. Because it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will use to fulfill the promise and the faithfulness of our Father. You know, I went through this particular time with some people and they were very unloving. And I chose to step into the fruit of the Spirit. And every time I saw them, I chose to love them. And you know, God is turning it around. I didn't use my own fire. I tried for a little while and then I realised it didn't work. I didn't use my own fire. I didn't use my own light. But I stepped into the Word of the living God. We are so blessed to have God's Word. We're so blessed to have the example of who Jesus is, who the apostles are. And we are not left alone to live this life. And God, I believe today, wants us to be determined to press in and dressed in the Word of God to fulfill his purposes for the coming year. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your Word. I thank you, Father, for the fact that we have the Word of God within us. Father, when we put that word on as a belt tight around us, and then the Holy Spirit can dip in and use that as a sword. I thank you, Lord, that we are dressed spiritually for the battle. And I thank you, Father, that the powers of darkness will see the armor of God. They will see the truth. They will see the righteousness. They will see your peace. They will see your faith. They will see your salvation. They will see your word. And as we bow our hearts humbly before you in prayer, Lord, that, Father, we will ride in that chariot of Scripture with the Holy Spirit as we go into 2019. We thank you, Father. We bless you. And we speak your love and your goodness over each one of us today. For you are indeed a wonderful God. Amen.